Our passage of scripture that we'll be studying is found in Mark chapter 7 and verses 1 through 13. I've entitled our study, Tradition of Men. Tradition of Men. But before we begin, let's talk with God. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you and praise you for the great honor and privilege it is to come and fellowship around thy holy word once again. Father, help our hearts and our minds to be open to receive the engrafted word of God. Father, we thank you that you preserved your holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible word in the good old King James Bible, Father. Father, we pray now. We pray that you would loosen my lips and give this old sinner your words and only your words to speak right now. Pray the Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way in each one of our lives. Father, if we need a rebuke or an admonition, Father, we pray that we would receive it at thy hands through the Holy Spirit. If we need encouragement or whatever it may be, we just pray that we would be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And now we commit this precious time that you've allotted to us into thy hand. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Tradition of men. Well, we're going to look at in our study 3 points concerning the tradition of men. And let me give them to you right now. First, we're going to look at the root, and verses 1 through 7 of Mark 7. And then second of all, we'll look at the reason, and verses 8 through 12, and then finally we'll look at the result. Alrighty, the root or source of the tradition of men. And it should be no surprise to any of us. It is man. Man's the root, amen, or the source of the tradition of men. We read in verse number 1 of Mark 7, then came together unto him, and of course the him in this verse is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And of course we see specifically the root of source of the tradition of men is the religious crowd. And in Jesus' time that crowd was the Pharisees and the scribes, amen, the religious leaders of his day. And of course today the equivalent would be really any of the hierarchy of the so many different religious denominations, amen. For example, the Roman Catholics, that would be the Pope and his College of Cardinals, amen. And we see that, again, in verse 1, the religious crowd coming together, amen, as they always do, to intimidate a Bible believer, in this case, the Bible believer is the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. And that's going on today, amen. Not only with Roman Catholics, but even within the ranks of Protestantism, amen. And even within the ranks of so-called fundamentalists, amen. So we're not just picking on Roman Catholics, we're picking on any hierarchy, amen, of religion that puts tradition over the Word of God, the Bible. Amen. And we need to beware, my dear friend, when the religious crowd gets together, and they usually get together to attack the Bible believer, do they not? Amen. And we see time and time again, they get together in a form of a council. And if you follow that word through counsel throughout the scriptures, it has a bad connotation, amen. We read over and over again that they took counsel against Jesus, amen. Or they took counsel against Paul the Apostle. Next, we want to notice, as we're looking at the root or the source of the tradition of men, look in verse number 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. This crowd that we see, this religious crowd in Jesus' day, comes together for one sole purpose, and that is to find fault, amen, with Jesus and his disciples. We see at the end of verse 2, it says they found fault, amen. Then as we read verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Verse 3 tells us that the religious crowd finds fault or judges Jesus' disciples' actions based on man-made laws and not the Word of God. Again, it says, holding the tradition of the elders. So they're not using the Word of God in this case to judge the disciples of Jesus. No, they're using their own rules and regulations that they've made up themselves. Look at in verse 4 of Mark 7. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. We see that the bulk of this crowd's belief is based on the tradition of man and not on the Word of God. Because we read again in verse 3, we see that it says, and many other things there be which they have received to hold. Does it sound like anyone you know? Amen. Tradition. Roman Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, amen. Liberal Protestants, Seventh-day Adventists, Church of Christ, Christian Scientists, Muslims, Jews, amen. All of your cults, you'll find, put their traditions or their rules and regulations, amen, above the Word of God or before the Word of God. Look in verse 5 of Mark 7. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Again, we want to notice the Pharisees and scribes' line of questioning. It's not the Word of God or Bible tradition, but the tradition of man. And in this case, it says the tradition of elders. Verse 6 with me. He answered and said unto them, well hast Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now Jesus tells us the root of the problem of putting the tradition of men before the Word of God. It's a heart problem. It's the heart of man. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, the problem with a heretic is not what he is teaching, but his heart. He has rejected the truth. And in fact, the Bible tells us one of the works of the flesh that's listed over in Galatians chapter 5 is heresy. Amen? Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 19 that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus tells this crowd that's before him, made up of these religious leaders, you're only giving me lip service. So you're only giving God lip service. Amen. The religious crowd uses the name of Jesus a lot in what they do. Amen. But in reality, as Jesus says, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Look at in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Actually, that was Matthew chapter 6 verse 21. And Matthew 7, 21, we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me," Jesus is speaking now, "Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." A lot of people out there, amen, a lot of people out there today using the name of Jesus, you know, march for Jesus, let's march for Jesus, amen. But you talk to any of those people that are involved in these ecumenical events, amen, they don't even have a clue about the Word of God or what it says, amen, about Bible separation, amen. We read in verse 7 of Mark 7. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus tells us those who follow and teach the commandments of men instead of the Word of God, their worship is in vain. In other words, it's worthless. It has no profit to it. It's nothing. So we see the root of the tradition of men then, number one, the root is man. In other words, man-made to elevate man instead of God. Amen? Now, the second we want to look at, the second point is, we want to look at not only the root of the tradition of men, but also the reason, number two, for the tradition of men. Look at in verse 8 of Mark 7. "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do." We see that expression, laying aside the commandment of God. In other words, what Jesus has said, instead of making the Word of God as their final authority, man makes up his own rules and sets himself up as his own final authority. Amen. What did Satan do? It's the same thing that he did with Eve in the garden. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and hold our place there in Mark 7. But back in Genesis chapter 3, there in the Garden of Eden, in verses 4 to 5, Genesis 3, verses 4 to 5, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Amen. In other words, what the Satan, the devil, is telling Eve is, who needs God, Eve? You don't need God and God's rules, Eve. You can be like God and make your own rules to go by. See, by man doing this, when he looks into his traditions, his commandments, he doesn't look like a bad person after all, amen. You've heard it all when you try to witness to someone about how to be saved through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll come up with, "I've been baptized. I keep the sacraments. I give money to the church. I keep the Ten Commandments. I go to church." Amen. See, the tradition of man is based on a religion of do. Amen. Bible tradition, Bible Christianity is based on the religion of did. Jesus said, "It is finished. There's nothing left for you to do but to receive my blood atonement for the payment of your sins." Amen. What people are saying, in other words, is, "I can save myself. I don't need God. I don't need his son." You know, tradition of men, they say, not God's word, amen. Now, because if they look into the Word of God, amen, when an individual truly looks into the Word of God with a searching heart, and James says that Word of God is like a mirror, Just like when we look in the mirror, say we go out to work, and we see what's dirty and needs to be cleaned, or maybe part of our clothing isn't, or the tie isn't on straight, or whatever it is, we see as we look in the mirror and we make the correction. It's the same way with the Word of God, James says. It's a mirror. And if you honestly look in that mirror, you're going to see, and I'm going to see, how just dirty and filthy and wicked that we are, amen, and we need to make some corrections according to the Word of God, amen. Back to Mark 7 and verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Jesus tells this religious crowd, and he says the same thing today, they knowingly reject the commandment of God, the Word of God, so that they can keep their own tradition. You see, you can't do both. Keep God's word and keep man's word, amen? Because the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve two masters, God and mammon. You're going to hate the one and love the other, amen? Verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12 of Mark 7. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Now what Jesus does is, not only does he tell them that they're rejecting the commandments of God, but he's given them an example of how they're just doing it. Amen. Jesus gives this religious crowd an example of how they are rejecting the commandment of God so they may keep the tradition. And this is basically the reason why man makes up his traditions, so that he can purposely circumvent the Word of God and get around it. Amen. You know, get around it or get off by some, as we call, technicalities, amen. How many criminals have worked because of, instead of going to jail or prison, or been executed by so-called technicalities, amen. Look at in verse 10 again. Here's God's commandment. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. And it hasn't gone away, by the way, even though we're no longer under the Mosaic law, but we're under grace. It's still here. Amen. We're to honor our father and mother. And then we read again in verses 11 and 12. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. This is in verses 11 and 12. In verse 10, we read the commandment of God. The word of God says, honor thy father and mother. Now in verses 11 and 12, we just read man's commandment and how to get around God's commandment to honor thy father and mother. In other words, what it's saying is in 11 and 12, if a person gave a gift to the temple, amen, gave a gift to the temple and the priest, he didn't have to take care of his mother or father. Amen. See? He could say, no, this is for the priest, or this is for the temple. This is a gift. So if they did that, then they'd get around honoring their mother and father, or taking care of their mother and father. Amen. So what we have here is a great example of a man-made commandment made to bypass God's commandment. We also have another reason for commandment of men, traditions of men. Greed. The love of money, the Bible tells us. The love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? Here's some examples. Amen. I was Before I was saved, I was raised Roman Catholic, and we were taught to pray for the dead. Amen. To get them out of a in-between place called purgatory. Amen. And we'd pay so much money to the priest. Amen. That he would say a mass for the dead. Amen. A mass for the dead. So, in other words, enough masses would set, eventually you would pray that person out of purgatory into heaven. That's a doctrine of devils, amen? A doctrine of devils. Also, another tradition of men, having a marriage annulled. Up here in the great liberal state of Massachusetts, amen? We had a representative who was no more a representative, amen, named Joe Kennedy, amen? Joe Kennedy, Jr., or Joe Kennedy, amen, the second. And, he had his marriage annulled after he and his wife, I think they had at least two children, amen. Then we see such things as special penances, amen. Priests are not to marry, amen. It costs less so you don't have to support a man and his family, amen. We have lighting of the candles so your prayers will be heard. All kinds of special medallions, amen. Crucifixes and statues, amen. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother would put this piece of cloth on me that had a strap. It was called a scapular, amen, and it was supposed to protect me at night. My goodness, what foolishness, amen, the tradition of men. Finally, we want to look at point number three, the result. The result, we've looked at the root of the tradition of men, amen. We've looked at the root. We've looked at the reason for the tradition of men. Now we want to look at the result. And the result of the tradition of men is found in verse 13 of Mark 7. It says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now notice what's interesting. This is verse number 13. What's so significant about that? Well, the number 13 in the Bible, amen, is the number for rebellion. And basically what we have here is the tradition of men is rebellion in or to the Word of God, amen. In other words, the tradition of men makes the Word of God of none effect. It cancels out the Word of God. Not in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of men. In other words, so if they do that, now what you have is man will have the final authority, not the Word of God. That's why we have so much changing and playing around with these perverted Bibles. Or you'll hear the pastors of some of these churches get up and they may even use the King James Bible, but you'll hear them correcting it left and right in the Greek. In the Greek, it says this, or it's better translated this, amen, and the original is blah, 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 you know, a bunch of nonsense, amen. See, the reason they do that is so then you have to come to the so-called man of God as your final authority, you know, and that's a bunch of bunk, we know that, because the final authority for a Bible believer is none other than the Word of God for everything. For everything, not just some things, but for everything. So we see then as they make it a tradition of men authority, amen, authority over the Word of God so they can make man authority. For example, we see that the Pope supposedly speaks ex cathedra when he sits in the seat or his word is infallible. Tradition of men. It's setting up man as man is the final authority and not God and the Word of God. You know, if it's not in the Bible, if it's not in the Word of God, then it's a tradition of men, and it's not a Bible tradition, amen? For example, men not to marry, amen, to be in the ministry, or go to a priest to confess your sins. You know, the only priest that you and I are supposed to confess our sins is to the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do I know that? Because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We're not to call, according to the Bible, a man father in the spiritual sense. Because the Bible tells us, amen, that we have only one Father and He's in heaven. Christmas, Easter, amen. Tradition of men. Amen. You know, the only thing that you're actually told to remember is the Lord's death. Amen. As instituted by the local church in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper or communion. That's the only thing. I don't mean to bust your bubble, amen. I think those times of years, Christmas and Easter, are good times of year to give us an opportunity to witness to others about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another tradition of men, that Peter was the first pope. In fact, Peter was never in Rome. Paul would have mentioned him in the book of the Romans, where he mentions everybody else that's there. And Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law, according to the scriptures. Amen? Looking in Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8 with me, in verse number 13. Actually, 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And of course, he healed them and she got up and served them, amen. Another tradition of men, sprinkling infants, amen, to wash away so-called original sin, whatever that is. No, we're saved by grace through faith. That's Bible tradition. Saved by good works, that's tradition of men. Remember this. If what man says doesn't line up with the book, amen, the Word of God, the King James Bible, then it's a tradition of men trying to make the Word of God of none effect. Remember what the Apostle Paul said over there in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians with me. Chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul exhorts us to stand fast and hold the traditions taught, whether by the word of God, or our epistle, which is Paul's letters to them and to us, which are inspired, which are the inspired word of God. Amen. So we've seen in our study 3 points about the tradition of men. The root of it, or the source of it, is none other, amen, than man. And then, second of all, we looked at, did we not, the reason for it, amen. The reason for it. Reason for it is so man can set up himself as, amen, his own final authority. Amen. Isn't that true? And then finally, we looked at the result. Amen. It makes the Word of God a none effect. It tries to cancel out the Word of God, amen, and put man's word, a man's tradition, over God. Well, that's about all the time we have for the pastor's study.